Welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. On today's show, we travel to Isle Royale. Researchers have been watching the wolves and moose on this remote Michigan island for more than 50 years. We'll hear why, on this protected island, the wolf population is barely hanging on. And we'll speak with the author of a new book on the so-called urban pioneers of Detroit. But first, what a week it was. On Thursday, right to work was introduced in both Michigan's House and Senate. And after months, years really, of Governor Snyder saying the issue was not on his agenda, that it was too divisive, he now says he will sign right to work into law. Protesters poured into the state capitol on Thursday. They turned up over the weekend, and thousands more are vowing to be there tomorrow when more votes are expected to take place. Let's try to put this into context as we turn to Michigan Radio's political analyst, Jack Lessenberry, and Detroit News business columnist, Daniel Howes. Daniel, I'd like to start with you. The sense of history here is really overwhelming, the idea of Michigan going right to work. What is your sense of what all this will mean for our state?
Well, I think it is historic if it indeed plays out the way it appears it's going to play out with such alarming speed. But I kind of view this in the context of what I've been writing about for, I don't know, the last 5 or 6 years is the reckoning that's going on in Michigan in terms of it trying to come to terms with its post-war industrial past. And that, of course, was crystallized by the implosion of the Detroit auto industry. And in some senses, I think this is an extension of that. The UAW particularly has become dramatically weaker. It's dramatically smaller. When I started covering the auto industry, it had about 750,000 members. Now it's in the order of about 350,000, down from 1.5 million in 1979, so it continues to shrink. And I think this is also indicative of the political divide in our country we're seeing in a lot of different places, whether it's in Washington over the fiscal cliff or in state houses around the country. We've seen it in Wisconsin. We've seen it in Ohio. And now we're in Indiana and now in Michigan. And I think this is going to continue to play out this way. And, you know, the governor himself, yes, he did say it was too divisive. And I think if he were sitting here talking to us privately, he'd probably still say that. But circumstances, I think, pushed him in this direction.
Well, I think that I don't disagree with anything Dan said, really. But the problem is the way in which it was done. And the Republicans, I think, will pay some long-term cost for that. I've never seen a case we had a bill this momentous that was just sort of rammed through both houses in a day without any substantial debate. It reminds me of some kind of an Eastern European communist that used to do those things in those legislatures. And they did it for, I think the governor was originally right. It's kind of hard to see why, other than to punish the unions for Proposal 2, why it was necessary. The unions are indeed weak. The unions are sort of losing clout. And what we don't know is what the long-term political cost will be. These bills are going to be, I can't see any way that they're not going to be passed and they're not going to be signed. And it could be Republicans will pay a long-term price. The Detroit Free Press yesterday, the editorial almost sounded like a letter from a jilted lover, that you betrayed us, they said, and you let us down. But on the other hand, we may remember 20 years ago, John Engler took some very radical steps with closing mental institutions, putting people on the street, and people predicted he'd be a one-term governor, and he got more than 60% when he ran for re-election. So we simply don't know.
I think part of the calculation of doing this right now, Cynthia, is that they've got a bigger majority now in lame duck than they're going to have, obviously, in the next session. And I think there's a hope that with 2 years out before the next general election, that there will make some, so there will be some traction here, and that Snyder will survive. I've talked to some people who are closely associated with this, and I think in general the feeling is that this is a risk worth taking, and they think that he and the Republicans can survive this 2 years out. I think that's a big guess on their part at this point, so we have to wait and see.
The problem is this. The problem is that this, in a way, thumbs their nose at the voters and the result of the election. The election in Michigan, the presidential election, wasn't close at all. Romney lost by almost 10 points. If the Democrats and the unions hadn't been so ham-handed and wasted money in the wrong places, they might well have picked up the state house. In any event, that is what right. This probably would not have passed in the new house. We had 6 Republicans who voted against right to work. There's going to be 5 fewer Republicans next time, and some of those who voted for it in the lame duck might find it harder, or their successors in the full session. So, again, this is kind of going against the will of the voters, but how that'll play out, we'll have to see. And before this, the we're talking about politically in Governor Snyder.
Yeah.
Before this, it was pretty much assumed as a given that he was going to win re-election in 2014 without any real difficulty at all. That's not to say that he won't. I still think the odds favor him, but this presents more problems for him.
Well, what do you see ahead for the months and the weeks ahead? I would suspect recall efforts are going to start bubbling up.
I don't think so. I mean, they may try to recall a couple state legislators. You can't recall a governor. We'd have to get practically 1.1 million signatures. It just isn't feasible.
How about lawsuits?
I mean, look what's happened in the city of Detroit. And by the way, I think that is probably one of the things that has pushed Snyder in this direction as well, is the continual trench fighting with unions in Detroit. Every step of the way, every attempt to try and engineer a financial workout for the city has been blocked by the unions and the courts. And I have no doubt that we're going to see that going forward here. I don't know what those strategies exactly will be, but you can bet they're going to do everything they can to try and block it. And there is a 90-day waiting period from the time this thing is going to be signed to the time it becomes effective. So I think there's going to be a lot of trench fighting back and forth.
Well, Dan's right. In the 90-day, by the time this thing becomes effective, they'll have had to deal with Detroit one way or another. Mm-hmm. While right to work may help eventually with the public sector unions, that's not an immediate fix for the problem in Detroit. The puzzlement to me is that you would think, and they may still get them done, but there are some things before the legislature, namely an emergency manager, a new emergency manager provision of some kind for Detroit that are much more urgent than right to work would have been. I think to some extent that while Snyder certainly was upset with the unions over Proposal 2, and upset is a euphemism, he decided to jump on the back of the tiger rather than being pulled along. I think this thing was going to be passed whether he wanted it to be or not.
In fact, I think we both know that to be the case. He was being pushed forward to this conclusion.
But does he now look weak to you that he had said, I'm not going there, it's not on my agenda, oh, now I'm on the back of the tiger? Can that be viewed now? Is he very much weakened?
I don't think so. I really don't think so. It depends on how things play out. You remember, Cindy, just 2 years ago, President Obama was terribly weakened. The Republicans won this huge victory in the congressional elections. 2 years later, he wins re-election pretty darn easily. So anybody who knows, says they know what's going to happen in November 2014, has no idea what they're talking about.
Well, I think the other element here is the economy, and as goes the national economy. I mean, you've got car companies and an auto industry that are making more money than they've made in anybody's memory here, and they're adding jobs, they're adding shifts. There is a lot of private investment going on in the city of Detroit. So what Snyder may have going for him here is some economic momentum going forward. Now, we'll have to see what happens with fiscal cliff and what happens in the new year in Washington and what effect, if any, that has on consumer sentiment, et cetera. But this is what happens to politicians. I mean, Jennifer Granholm happened to be governor when the implosion began in the auto industry, and there was very little that she could do. It was sucking everything right down with her. This is a different situation that Snyder's in, and he may be able to ride this up. And if he does, and if the business community does rally around this, as some people say that they will, then that will help him, I think.
One of the things that Governor Snyder said Thursday as he announced, yes, I'm going to sign this, is he is now for right to work because it will make Michigan more competitive. I'd like to get the thoughts of both of you on how true you think this really is. Jack, I'd like to start with you.
There's really no evidence of that. Bridge Magazine, the Center for Michigan's online publication, had a story, comprehensive story, a week ago that said there's really no evidence really one way or another. There is evidence that right-to-work states have lower wage levels, whether because of right-to-work or other factors may be disputable, but there's no clear sign that right-to-work states are doing a lot better in attracting jobs, and some signs that they're not doing as well.
Well, I think it depends on how you look at it. If you look in the context of the auto industry and investment, I don't think there's any question that most of the new plants, particularly by foreign automakers, have all gone in right-to-work states. There is a belief, and I underscore the word belief, there's a belief that once Michigan becomes right-to-work, you're going to see a Toyota or a Volkswagen or a Nissan or whatever plant opening in Michigan. I would not bet my paycheck on that. But, you know, there's a lot of statistics back and forth that people look at Oklahoma and make the argument that Oklahoma has added more jobs and per capita income has grown more. The other thing you have to look at is that Michigan's per capita income over the last decade has dropped like a stone. And it's starting to climb back, but it's got a very long way to go. Now, the question is whether right to work is going to have much impact on it. And I don't think we necessarily know. And Jack's right, some of this is speculative. I don't think there's any question but what there are some businesses, when they're looking at investment, that are more attracted to right-to-work states, particularly if the kind of work that they're in is more susceptible to union organization. But clearly, a lot of 21st century high-tech kind of investment is really not a union issue, and it's not something that they're plagued by.
One thing we should keep in mind is that in the private sector, even in Michigan, it's only about 12.4% of workers are unionized, and this may have a far bigger impact, as Daniel alluded earlier, on the public sector, where 55% of workers are unionized. We're talking about teachers, government workers, folks like that.
Right, and I think that's really where this is going to have an impact. And really, you know, we've got about 17.5% of the workforce in Michigan is unionized. So this assumption that you have, particularly outside the state, people have that this is labor stronghold the way it was 30 and 40 and 50 years ago is simply not true.
And we're speaking with Daniel House, Detroit News business columnist, and Jack Lessenberry, political analyst here at Michigan Radio. We'll take a quick break. Then we'll continue our conversation about this historic right-to-work legislation in Michigan. We'll continue to explore what comes next for unions in our state, what it means for the Democratic Party, which for so long has relied on labor. Then we travel to northern Michigan, very northern, to Isle Royal, right in Lake Superior, with the Environment Report's Rebecca Williams. That's in 15 minutes. You're listening to Stateside here on Michigan Radio. Welcome back to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. We're talking with Michigan Radio's political analyst Jack Lessenberry and Detroit News business columnist Daniel House, exploring the impact of the state legislature taking up right-to-work bills and, of course, Governor Rick Snyder saying that when they hit his desk, he will sign them. Jack, I want to turn to the relationship now between labor and the Democratic Party here in our state. Now, in the face of the very likely prospect that Michigan will become the 24th right-to-work state, what do you think union leaders and Democrats will do or should do next? Do they go from defense to offense?
I think that this may be the silver lining for the unions is that they need to reinvent themselves. Even without this, for many years, they've been going downhill. They've gone from something like 35% of the private sector workforce nationally to 7%. And so this may just be accelerating the decline, and it really... Labor, I think, has not had a visionary leader in this country in many years. They haven't had any kind of a forward-looking strategy other than to huddle and try to protect what they have, which they're losing slowly. So hopefully they will look at this as a wake-up call on how do we reinvent ourselves. I wouldn't bet on that, but that's what they certainly need to do.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wouldn't bet on it either, Jack. I mean, I really think that unions, the way they're built, are very resistant to change, and it's very difficult for them to move unless they are forced to. And I mean, clearly the best example of that here was in the auto bailouts. And the unions did move and swallowed a lot of concessions and renegotiated their contracts in a way that they otherwise never would have. Now, whether this is the kind of galvanizing event, I think that remains to be seen. One of the things you saw in Wisconsin was once membership became voluntary, people fled the union in droves. What we need to really focus on here is that one of the real issues is this is a way to hurt the unions financially. And that is because I think a lot of Republicans and a lot of union leaders know that if their members have the option of leaving the union and still getting the benefit of some of the union negotiated benefits and wages, people will do that.
I think that's true. On the other hand, while this may be a blow to the unions, it may also be a blow to the Republican Party. And if you look at Wisconsin, where Scott Walker put in these reforms and where he himself survived the recall, Paul Ryan was the Republican vice presidential nominee. They were blown out by Obama in the November election. Republicans, generally, they're going to pay some kind of a price. We don't know how much of a price it is, but Snyder will not win election, probably, if he wins, by as many votes as he would have otherwise.
I think you're probably right. And I think that the people who are making these decisions, deciding to go ahead, figure that it's worth the risk. And you know, I had a conversation with one person who made that point very clear to me. You know, if we don't take advantage of this opportunity now, we may not get this opportunity again. And certainly wouldn't even have as good of an opportunity come January. So I think that's why they've done it this way. I clearly understand why people have criticized the way they are trying to do this and how, you know, kind of this sneak attack approach. That's very obvious why people are unhappy with it.
As Michiganders, what were your thoughts as you saw the scene unfold on Wednesday? There's pepper spray. The doors of the Capitol are locked. There are people pounding on doors. What were your thoughts just as Michigan citizens?
Well, I think my main thought, as I said before, was that this is a disgraceful way to smash something of this consequence through the legislature. One state senator told me they had more deliberative action last time they wanted a new commemorative license plate. And so that bothered me regardless. In fact, if no matter how I would feel about the issue, doing it that way was sort of unseemly. In fact, there's probably it'll be interesting to see this week how much more protest activity we have.
You know, I kind of viewed it as exactly what I expected. I've covered a lot of this stuff in Michigan over the last decade or 15 years and have seen these kinds of reactions and in fact have written many columns suggesting that going right to work was going to be a fight that might not be worth having, particularly when you've got the economic pressure that you do have on the state, on the cities, and on the private sector. There's been a lot of change that has been driven by economic reality in this state in the last five or so years. And I think you're going to get this kind of pushback, and it's going to be fierce, and it's not just going to be from the unions. It's going to be from the national media. It's going to be from the National Democratic Party. It's probably going to be from the President of the United States. And the question you have to answer, and I don't think we know the answer to this, is does this derail the direction that Michigan is on, or does it accelerate it?
Dan, Jack, thanks so much, as always, for sharing your perspectives.
Always a pleasure.